The following program is brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg and the Catholic Communication Campaign. Visit us on the web at hbgdiocese.org.
Franciscan Media and this local station present American Catholic Radio, Disciples Called to Witness. Production of American Catholic Radio is made possible by listeners like you. And now, here's our host.
Welcome to American Catholic Radio Presents Disciples Called to Witness, a program designed to help you know your faith so you can grow in your faith and share it. I'm your host, Judy Zarek. We live in a world that is totally plugged in. We rely on technology for so many things, and our kids today rely on it as a main source of communication. Gone are the days when your parents told you to go over to your friend's house, knock on the door, and see if they can play. Geographically, people are just more spread out. Cell phones, computers, social media sites, they're all a part of our young people's lives and how they communicate. So as a church, we need to find out how best to utilize what we have to reach out to that generation. As a church, we need to embrace technology. Our U.S. bishops encourage catechists and teachers of the faith to be witnesses to others. They don't give us the exact blueprint how to do that. They don't say you need to get kids to church every week for a Bible study or you need to text a scripture verse to kids every day. They allow us, the Christian Catholic family, to be creative, listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and go from there. On today's show, you're going to hear from some people who are in the trenches, working with today's technology and our young people, trying to spread the good news and be that witness of faith to others. In my Sharing Faith interview, I spoke with Sister Susan Wolfe, who started her own website, which helps other Catholic groups become a presence on the World Wide Web. And in our Discovering Faith interview, John Feaster talks with Bob McCarty, a man who has many years of experience working with young adult ministers and understands how discipleship can be fostered through them. And Bishop John Barris will talk with Sharon Cross about the value of catechesis in today's work in the new evangelization. We have a truly inspirational show lined up for you today that you won't want to miss. So let's get started and see if you can guess this week's Saint of the Week. He's a celebrated catechist in the history of our faith.
Who am I? I'm probably the most famous biblical scholar the Church has ever had. I translated various books of the Bible into the up-and-coming language of my day, Latin. I was born in the year 345 in the Balkans, where I received an excellent education. I was blessed with good teachers and a sharp mind. I had a special facility for languages and mastered Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and Chaldaic. After beginning my studies at home, I moved to Rome, then to Germany and other spots. Wherever I went, I searched for the best teachers I could find. There is a theme here. Perhaps you've detected it. I was rather impressed with myself, my skills, my scholarship, until I encountered God in a powerful dream. I awoke from that dream determined to become a monk. I was ordained and retired to the desert in order to study the Word of God in a new, more prayerful way. I was chosen personal secretary to Pope Damasus, who called on me to produce an official Latin text of the Gospels for liturgical use. I also produced a Latin translation of the Psalms and other Old Testament books, as well as biblical commentaries. I immersed myself in the translation project for much of my life. It became known as the Vulgate version, the official Latin translation of the Bible. When Pope Damasus died, I was considered a possible candidate to succeed him, but another man was chosen. I left Rome and headed for the land of Jesus' birth to meditate on his life. I finally settled in Bethlehem, where I lived in the cave believed to have been the birthplace of Christ. I continued my scholarly work and helped pilgrims. Oh, before I finish, I really must tell you about my dark side. I was known for my bad temper and my sharp tongue. I got into some doozies with important people in my day and had my share of enemies. I was quick to see the shortcomings of others, and, for what it's worth, my own. I died in Bethlehem in the year 420. In the late 1300s, I was proclaimed a doctor of the church. In 1929, Pope Benedict XV named me patron saint of those who study sacred scripture. Who am I? I am Saint Jerome.
Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their faith are healthier and happier. I'm Bishop Ronald Gaynor. I want to invite you to experience a positive difference in your life by visiting your Catholic parish and encountering Jesus through the sacraments. Do it for your family, do it for yourself, and come home. Remember that God's mercy is and always will be there for you, no matter what your situation. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org to find a parish near you.
I'm not Catholic, but I really love working at Catholic Volunteer Network and being around those who are Catholic, because it's just given me an opportunity to learn about the different perspectives and the way they love others and care for the poor and always have a heart for service.
I think that the Catholic faith can support that drive for social justice and that social change, and give a venue to be able to talk about it, and finding the right people to be able to challenge you in that aspect as well, in that idea.
What I love about the Catholic faith is that it is so rich, and so, you know, there's so many textures to it. I love the fact that you know, we're a faith that calls us to be in right relationship with one another, that calls us not just to obviously be people of faith, be people that, you know, that are in relationship with God, but that faith calls us to go out into the world and to minister to one another. That's something that very much motivates my work and motivates you know, my sense of you know, purpose in the world.
You're listening to American Catholic Radio presents Disciples Called to Witness. Our Catholic faith must be reflected in our everyday lives if we hope to evangelize others. In our Sharing Faith segment up next, I'll introduce you to someone who is willing to communicate and witness that faith. Sister of Notre Dame, Sister Susan Wolfe, began a website a few years ago called Catholic Web Solutions. One of the first things you'll see when you find it is Sister Susan's slogan. It reads, "The Internet is a mission field. Let's be there. The Internet is a ministry tool. Let's use it."
I started it in 2010. I had been involved with a lot of online projects when I worked at the Paulus National Catholic Evangelization Association. And as I was working on them, I became more and more aware of what an important tool the Internet and social media they are for evangelization, and also catechesis and a lot of other things like vocations, promoting vocations and advancing mission. I just was keenly aware that many organizations and religious communities and parishes and dioceses just did not realize the potential.
Before Sister Susan began Catholic Web Solutions and was involved in online projects, she was frequently being asked questions about how to go about setting up a web page. In time, she realized that people needed more than someone just answering a few questions. They needed somewhere to go to find out why and how to make their voices heard in the crowded cyberspace.
I really felt that this was a very important ministry. So I had been at the Paulus for 19 years, and I thought that it was a time to leave and start a new ministry, and that ministry is to help Catholic organizations and religious communities utilize the Internet and social media for ministry. The most important thing was to start this blog as a way of educating people in ministry about the Internet and social media and helping them realize its potential.
Sister Susan writes a blog once a week and, in addition, serves as a consultant to religious communities and Catholic organizations to help them develop their own web presence.
If we want to carry out our mission in today's world, we have to be where our people are. And our people are on the internet, and if when they're looking, we don't have a viable presence, we're not going to be found. And it's not only that we're there, we have to have a quality presence, and we have to learn how to interact on the internet in ways that fit web activity. It's different than other communication tools. So it's really very much audience-focused. We do have a message to deliver. The first thing we have to do is answer the questions that people have when they come to us. And once we answer their questions, then they'll hopefully look around and see what else we have to offer. But if we don't answer their question, they're just a click away of going someplace else.
Knowing who you're communicating with is one of the first questions Sister Susan says you need to ask.
Who is your audience? What are they, and it's usually multiple audiences. What are they looking for? And how can you deliver it in clear, simple, concise, friendly language? This does take an investment of time and effort and skill and resources. Being on social media, Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, whatever, isn't play. it's a communication vehicle. It has to really be monitored and developed, and that it's about engagement.
Sister Susan continues to work with her own community, helping them to utilize the internet to raise awareness of the many programs and services their order offers.
The power of that outreach is very significant, and from my point of view, the ability to maximize the impact of the gifts of our different sisters in terms of the areas of their expertise just thrills me, actually. You know, to be able to see them use their gifts in this way. I'm trying to raise the quality of content that is out there. For me, the exciting part about it is just the number of people that you're able to reach using the social media.
If you want to learn more about how you or your organization can make your ministry more fruitful through the internet, check out Sister Susan's website, www.catholicwebsolutions.com. As Sister Susan says, the internet is a mission field. Let's be there. The internet is a ministry tool. Let's use it. For Sharing Faith, I'm Judy Zarek. Our United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is helping to guide us in the call to the new evangelization. They invite us all into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and His Church. This week, Bishop John Barris joins producer Sharon Cross and talks about the importance of catechists and teachers of the faith in the new evangelization.
Our guest today is Bishop John Barris. Welcome, Bishop Barris.
Thank you very much, Sharon.
Through our program study this year of the Disciples' Call to Witness document, we've been learning what evangelization is. But I understand that you are a member of the Bishop Conference's Catechesis and Evangelization Committee. Is that correct?
It is.
All right. Can you tell us maybe what is catechesis? What does that mean?
Catechesis is being able to take the four pillars of the catechism on the creed, on the sacraments, on our moral teaching, and on our teaching on prayer, and being able to bring those teachings in a very compelling and creative way to all the different people that were called to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Priests, through their training and through their ordination, they have a duty to teach the faith. But we know that other people are catechists as well. Some of them are laymen and women. What are some of the characteristics of a lay person who might be called to be a catechist?
A lay catechist is someone who's going to be intellectually and spiritually on fire with the sacred scriptures and on fire with the splendor of truth of our Catholic faith. And so a lay catechist is going to, first of all, have a very compelling spiritual life. That is a daily spiritual life that has a beautiful discipline of the Holy Spirit and that constantly stokes their mind, their heart, their imagination, their lives with the Word of God and the teachings of the Catholic Church. And so it's a blend of a deep spiritual life, but it's also ongoing study. It's an ongoing study of the content of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, one of the great tools of the new evangelization. It's an ongoing study of the various books or of theology that come out and that are pastorally practical. Remember, to be pastoral is to be at the same time intensely theological. In fact, the beginning of the Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about periods of renewal and reform in the church. They are always intensely catechetical because people need to understand and integrate the truths that set them free in the 21st century as it relates to evangelization and to church reform.
Is it necessary for every catechist to have a master's in theology or some other advanced degree?
Oh, I really believe that every Catholic is called to holiness and mission and called to catechesis within their families, among their friends, in first of all by the inspiring way in which they live the gospel and the teachings of the church. That speaks volumes. But also verbally in the context of friendship and relationship, that the logic of friendship is that people want to get to know what are the most important things that drive their friend. And so it becomes very natural for every Catholic layperson to, in the context of their friendships, in the context of the soccer field where they're meeting other young parents, to be able to open up about what really means, guides and inspires their life.
Thanks for joining us today, Bishop Barris. For Call to Discipleship, I'm Sharon Cross.
I'm not Catholic, but I really love working at Catholic Volunteer Network and being around those who are Catholic, because it's just given me an opportunity to learn about the different perspectives and the way they love others and care for the poor and always have a heart for service.
I think that the Catholic faith can support that drive for social justice and that social change, and give a venue to be able to talk about it, and finding the right people to be able to challenge you in that aspect as well, in that idea.
What I love about the Catholic faith is that it is so rich, and so, you know, there's so many textures to it. I love the fact that we're a faith that calls us to be in right relationship with one another, that calls us not just to obviously be people of faith, be people that, that our relationship with God is, but that faith calls us to go out into the world and to minister to one another. That's something that very much motivates my work and motivates, my sense of, purpose in the world.
Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their faith are healthier and happier. I'm Bishop Ronald Gaynor. I want to invite you to experience a positive difference in your life by visiting your Catholic parish and encountering Jesus through the sacraments. Do it for your family, do it for yourself, and come home. Remember that God's mercy is and always will be there for you, no matter what your situation. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org to find a parish near you.
I'm not Catholic, but I really love working at Catholic Volunteer Network and being around those who are Catholic, because it's just given me an opportunity to learn about the different perspectives and the way they love others and care for the poor and always have a heart for service.
I think that the Catholic faith can support that drive for social justice and that social change, and give a venue to be able to talk about it, and finding the right people to be able to challenge you in that aspect as well, in that idea.
What I love about the Catholic faith is that it is so rich, and so, there's so many textures to it. I love the fact that we're a faith that calls us to be in right relationship with one another, that calls us not just to obviously be people of faith, be people that, that our relationship with God is, but that faith calls us to go out into the world and to minister to one another. That's something that very much motivates my work and motivates, my sense of, purpose in the world.
Today on Discovering Faith, producer John Feaster talks with Bob McCarty, the executive director of the National Federation for Catholic Youth Ministry since 1997. Bob animates the Federation's mission and values throughout their programs and services, and advocates for them and for comprehensive youth ministry to the broader church and society. Bob has written several books on youth ministry and provides training programs and presentations on ministry issues internationally. He and John discuss how the work of youth ministers builds discipleship among young Catholics.
Bob, thanks for joining us today. We're continuing our conversation about discipleship kind of from all different directions. And I know that you're particularly involved with the National Federation of Catholic Youth Ministry. So you're out there working with youth ministers, huh?
Yes.
It seems like such an important part of our present and our future as a church. How do we teach young people to be disciples?
It really is a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge today because I think to be a disciple of Jesus in the modern world is countercultural. And so so everything that kind of bombards our young people, all the kind of the societal messages that bombard young people, I think are different than what the gospel message is. And so I think our young people get bombarded. And I think the first step is to help young people sort out the different messages that they hear. I'm thinking, John, just in a technological age, the amount of information that gets streamed, not just to young people, but to all of us, how do young people sort out, in the midst of all that information, what is genuine, what's real, what's gospel based? And I think that's really hard for young people.
So how do we help them?
Well, and I think the first step we do to help them is to put them in relationship with caring adults. I know that sounds simplistic, but I think our young people are looking for adults who they themselves genuinely live out this call to discipleship and look happy doing it. I maybe you've heard this before, but you know, probably the worst advertisement for the gospel are grumpy Christians. And so I think young people are looking for adults for whom faith works. And there was a time, John, in our generation when faith was a given, not an option. And that has changed today. So today faith is an option. It's more and more people are looking to live their lives without having that faith dimension to it.
And so we're going to have to actually encourage people to follow us, not just shut up and eat your peas, but look what I'm doing, and don't you want to be part of it, huh?
Well, you know what, and this is so very interesting. Jeff, my wife and I teach confirmation because I love the high school kids in our parish.
Uh-huh.
And one of the parents sent me an email during our class, and she goes, I don't know what you're doing in your class, but thank you very much. She goes, this is the first time my daughter, Casey, has been excited about something that has to do with church. And now this woman does not know what I do for a living. I'm just a parish volunteer. And when I asked Casey, what is it about the confirmation class that has caught her attention, here's the quote, John. Casey says, Mom, they like us. They
wow.
really like us. You know, and John, it's such a simple yet profound truth that the quality of the relationships that we form with our young people provides this avenue to share the gospel. My belief with Casey is that we could teach anything, and she's going to listen because we like her, and she knows that we like her. And so the first step in any of this is it's not to appeal to their head. It's really to appeal to their hearts.
Isn't that the way Jesus called his followers? Huh?
I think it's exactly what happens. So what Jesus does, he engages people's hearts, and he engages people where they live, what they do in their lived experiences, and it's informing that relationship that I think the gospel message becomes real. And so what would that look like today in the church? For us to make a commitment that we want to engage the hearts of our young people, that we want to engage them at a level that says we the church, want to enter into a relationship with them so that they know that we like them, we really like them.
So how do we do that? How do we show young people that we are disciples, so something that they want to catch?
Yeah, John, the first step is it's going to be obviously the role of the parents, and I want to say this in a really positive way. I want us as church to partner with parents so that parents themselves feel supported in living out the call to discipleship. All the research right now is saying that the single biggest influence in the life of teenagers, the single biggest influence in the faith life of teenagers, is the faith life of their parents,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important message because we sometimes parents think I don't have the impact that their peers have. Research says it's not true, or the parents say I don't have the impact all my kids that the media has. The research says it's not true, that the number one impact is the faith life of the parents. So
it's kind of good news for all of us who are parents. That
I think it's
we
great
see the,
news.
The competition of all the gadgets. But
I think it's great news.
We're still there.
I have to tell you, as a parent, how many times have you ever gone into your kid's room and you look at the posters on your wall and you think, oh, my God, I've lost out to this. You know, it's like, oh, my Lord. And I can't tell if it's, you know, animal, mineral, or vegetable. And I've lost it. But the reality is, it's the parents have incredible impact, and our willingness to live out our faith, that has impact on the faith life of our young people.
For Discovering Faith, I'm John Feaster.
This is Judy Zarek here to wrap up this edition of ACR Presents Disciples Called to Witness. Faith is an option, not a given. That's a quote from our guest, Bob McCarty, who you heard today on our show. Now, I definitely grew up with the idea that my Catholic faith was a given. I went to Catholic grade school and I went to Mass on Sundays. There wasn't any discussion about whether I was going to or not. It was just part of my life. I also wasn't exposed to too many other people that weren't Catholic. Today, however, that certainly isn't the case for my own kids. Their scope of friends encompasses so many more people with the advent of social media, and they experience an incredible amount of diversity on the internet that I was never exposed to as a kid. It's no wonder that many people today believe that faith is an option, not a given. So I guess that means our task is just a little bit harder when it comes to teaching the faith and being a good witness. We have to compete with so much more these days. But something else Bob said can help us in that respect. He said people need to see joyful examples of faith. People don't see a joyful Catholic Christian in front of them, then it's going to be that much harder to convince them that faith does matter. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to try a little harder to stay positive, to be a joyful witness to those around me. It's just a little thing. But as Mother Teresa said, do small things with great love. You can find ACR archive programs and more on the web at productions.franciscanmedia.org. where you can contact us and also meet our production team, Sharon Cross, John Feaster, Ron Riegler, Chris Holmes, Father Dan Anderson, and our executive producer, Matt Wielgus. Music for our program was composed and arranged by Bobby Fisher. I'm Judy Zarek. Join me next time for another edition of American Catholic Radio Presents Disciples Called to Witness.
American Catholic Radio, Disciples Called to Witness, is produced by Franciscan Media, a ministry of the Franciscan Friars of Cincinnati, Ohio.
This program was brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg and the Catholic Communication Campaign. Visit us on the web at hbgdiocese.org.